welcome to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. This is a fun Friday. I am looking out the window and looking at NBC Universal Studios in the beautiful Hollywood, California area. It is just gorgeous. Savannah and I were so lucky to be with our good friend Cindy L., who frequents our show and is a guest very often, from the International Firefighter Cancer Foundation. Well, we did some amazing things, and anybody who's listening right now can go on to the MerlinsKids.org website, or on our Facebook page, or United K9, the letter K, number 9, professionals.com website or Facebook. And you can actually see Savannah in action working with diagnosing and testing of several people who were interested in knowing if they had any kind of diseases or anything cooking in their bodies. And, of course, you'll be able to see the inimitable, amazing Cindy L., who is the founder of IFCF, who is the other half of the brainchild here of making sure that we can save the lives of our heroes, not just in a way that we want publicity, because neither of us ever wants it, but it finds us, and it's amazing. Like I always say, just do good for good's sake. Just do it because it's a good thing to do, and you'll be surprised how many wonderful things will happen to you. Well, one of the things is, you know, of course, flying across 6 hours across the country with Savannah, and I did not take Wyatt this time because I've got another trip. Wyatt's going to be coming on in about a week and a half. So I try to alternate the two of them and sometimes take the also amazing Wispa D Bunny Dog. But it is a very stressful thing very often when you have dogs who are traveling in an airplane. And I did want to talk about that in our first segment today. What do you do when you need to ship your dog or get your dog to go to another location? For instance, you're going on a vacation, you're moving, you're going cross-country for a longer trip, you're going to go visit and you've got, you know, you're going to be gone for a month. And, you know, yes, you, of course, have to have responsibility to your dog, but I want to explain to people how dogs think. Well, yesterday when Savannah and I were doing our cancer detections and the D3, the disease detection dog work, we were, you know, she was a little stressed just because, of course, when she finds something, we, you know, definitely a little bit of a feeling there from them. They know that there's something not quite right. But the important thing to understand is dogs are dogs. Dogs don't think like humans. Dogs do what dogs do because they're dogs. So they don't think the way we humans do, and especially us women. Not at all the same. Dogs don't get jealous. Dogs don't start feeling like they're, you know, they're just, you know, the whole world is going to fall apart if you're not there. After about 3 days, pretty much any dog is going to, not that it's going to forget you, it will never, but it will start assimilating into its new lifestyle. Now, this particular week, I've been placing, this is going to be the third service dog that Merlin's Kids and United Canine Professionals are placing just this week. So we did two dogs in New Jersey. We've got a couple more next week. And then we've got one that I'll be doing in the Detroit, Michigan area. So it's really important, I think, for people to understand what really, really happens when dogs fly. I know we know when pigs fly, but when dogs fly, a lot of times, you know, people don't understand that the dogs don't feel the pressurization of the plane the same way. And anybody who's going to take a dog in cargo is, first of all, going to have a really, really amazing, you know, experience if they're going to people who are professionals. I would recommend highly, and I can't promote companies, but we use one that we've been very, very happy with that has been excellent throughout the many years we've used them. One of the biggest carriers, if not the biggest carrier. We've been very, very pleased with them. We've also had a couple of the airlines who, one, doesn't do it anymore, but We've had a couple of the airlines who really, I think their work was kind of shoddy. And there was even one, about 8 or 9 years ago, a little whippet who was a Westminster competitor and had won, I believe, an award of merit. And this dog had actually disappeared, and I don't believe they ever got the dog back. And it was because somebody, unfortunately, was mishandling the dog and not really able to, set that dog up the right way, and the cage opened. Now, one of the things you should do if you're getting your dog used to flying or traveling is get him used to the movement. Okay, we talk about this on Tuesday nights on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog, but we also really need to understand, what do dogs go through physically in their bodies? Well, dogs have much, much larger ear canals, much, much shorter ear canals. It's kind of crazy because a dog has a very wide open ear canal. Now, the problem is with that, obviously, that things can get pushed into it. We have a little crook or a little bend in our ear canal. Now, yes, dogs kind of have that, but it's not nearly as much. So what happens is that's what's so important when you're cleaning your dog's ears, not to put anything down into the ear that could puncture the eardrum. You've got a better chance of puncturing your dog's eardrum than even your own by sticking a Q-tip in it. So what I use and I recommend is when you're flying, make sure first, if the dog's going to be flying, make sure his ears are clean and free of debris. That does not mean you necessarily have to take, Mometamax or something like that, or Otocleanse, and, chug it down your dog's ear, because you also don't want the ear to become too wet and moist, because that can harbor bacteria. So make sure before you do fly or you do travel anywhere, especially if you're going up in altitude or you're going into a climate change zone, it's important to make sure your dog is, of course, up to date on all his shots. You can definitely use a titer, which I just did, and yes, it's quite expensive to titer instead of giving vaccinations, but I titered 4 of my dogs who are 4 years old and up, and all of them were still protected by their vaccination from when they were, their last one would have been at about 1.5 years old. So they were still protected 3, 4, 5 years later. Now, Fallon had her shots. She's 11 years old. Her last shot was about when she was about 6 years old. And so the titering is very good, and checking with your veterinarian to make sure there's no ear infection, there's no allergic reaction. Also, on the dogs who have little, kind of flat face, the brachiocephalic dogs, try to also make sure that their eyes are clear. And, that there some dogs actually, their eyeballs kind of pop out, and it's kind of gross. But very, very important to understand what can cause that. Glaucoma or pressure behind or within the eye. So that is all stuff that's really detrimental to a dog. And we want to make sure that you understand that the most important part of this is making sure your dog is physically healthy enough. As I sit and watch a healthful, flavorful, awful, some kind of disgusting food that I won't say on air commercial, make sure that you do the right thing for your dog to keep your dog healthy. We are going to go into the specifics when we return from our commercial message. Please stay tuned.
Treat your furry best friend with a Clear Conscience. Clear Conscience Pet, that is. Everything made by this family-owned company is artisan-crafted in the USA. From family-farmed ingredient sources, holistically formulated for your pet's best health. and just plain delicious. Their treats, chews, and the amazing super gravy food topper for dogs and cats are simply the best you can buy, and the company has won 5 National Nutrition Awards to prove it. Now, Clear Conscience Pet is launching the Sliders brand, a true breakthrough in meaty treats featuring the purest tender meat treat ever made. No grain, no gluten, no glycerin or other chemicals found in typical moist treats. Sliders are pub fun snacks made from lean meats nutritionally optimized with omega-rich organic flax and veggies. Enter the offer code RADIO at checkout and save 20% at clearconsciencepet.com. Your pets will love you for it.
When it comes to health expenses, dog owners have it rough. Now, thanks to veterinarian and dermatologist Dr. Kristen Holm, your dog can be goo healthy. There's Doggy Goo to fight environmental pet allergies, Goo Gut Rescue for rescuing your dog's gut health, and Goo Silver, a broad-spectrum supplement for the special needs of your senior varsity dog. So visit HealthyGoo.com today or call 855-246-2426, and your dog can be healthy goo healthy.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. So, we were talking earlier about making sure that your dog is prepared for travel. There are a lot of different things people don't understand, and there are a lot of travel issues with dogs depending on the type of dog. And I travel more than probably anybody else who would have a dog because I travel all around the world, and I travel extensively. Very rarely do I have a month that goes by or even a couple of weeks that goes by that I'm not either in the car for, you know, a 6 or 8 hour trip up to great old Lewiston, New York, which is my favorite place, where we have the delightful Karen Novak, who's studying with United Canine Professionals to be a certified natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist, or up to Syracuse, New York, the wonderful Jill Ennis, who is in our program as well, or Laren Whitaker, who's out in Missouri, or Dennis Parker, or all of our great people, or even Heather out in, who's out here in California. We've got people all over the country, and this is, the reason that I think of this more than many people do, because my dogs are going to all different locations. So, for instance, in New Jersey, when I left, it was about 70, 75 degrees. Well, I'm out in California, it's still summer, so yeah, it's, you know, what is it, 80 degrees, 85 degrees? It's beautiful out here. But then, think about it, when you go from a cold climate, like New Jersey in the wintertime or Vermont, and you drive and you take your dog down to Florida, your dog didn't get a body clip, right? Now, Ridgebacks, we all just deck them out real well and in something cute like a sweater or a, you know, a nice horse blanket that's sized down for the Ridgebacks. But it's so important to understand, first of all, dogs can get allergies. Dogs can get differences, changes of climate can really hit dogs very much. So if you've got a dog who you say, oh, yeah, my dog, my husky is great in the summer at my house, but if he's used to the cold, cold winter and then he's going into a very, very hot place, that can still impact him because his body hasn't had weeks or months to adjust or adapt. One of the things that's a little bit tough is dogs who are going and living in higher altitudes, some of the brachiocephalic dogs, again, the ones who normally wouldn't be able to breathe or procreate or be born without help from modern veterinary medicine. But, you know, one of the main things is to remember is that the climate can change. Because you get onto an airplane in Vermont and you land in, let's say, California or Florida, and you might have left and it was, you know, -5, and you get there and it's 85. And that's like a 90-degree climate change. It's hard enough for us, but just remember, if you're taking your dog with you, make sure you've got your dog prepared. If he's going to be going to an area that's a little bit warmer, you know, get him a puppy cut. Get him something where at least he's got a little less hair when he gets there, but not so short that when he returns, you're going to have a problem. But be aware of that. Now, one of the most important things, I think, is bringing your dog's food and using spring water. Don't use tap water from a hotel that's old or you know, from a place that might not have a good quality filtered water, because water changes in some dogs. My Ridgebacks are, you know, their bellies are little ninny bellies. They just wind up getting allergies to almost any new water. So if you can just take, you know, either take the food with you or locate a store before you get there, locate a store in the area. I do this all the time. So right now I'm in Hollywood, California, at Universal Studios up in the Hollywood Hills. It's absolutely beautiful. At the wonderful Hilton Hotel here, which is just beautiful. We're very much enjoying. Cindy and I are enjoying this with Savannah. And we will be posting actually some really cute photos that we took yesterday when we were over at Disneyland. So with Savannah with her little black and red Minnie Mouse ears, it was really cute. And we will definitely be posting that on all the websites and the Facebook group. But it's really fun to do these great things with your dog. Even when there's another dog that's supposedly a service dog that comes down and you know, comes to attack your dog still can't react. So you've got to make sure if you are traveling with your dog, and a lot of people love that, you've really got to be very careful, you know, not to, you know, let your dog get away with things when you're walking them on the street. If your dog is truly a service dog, yes, any dog can make a mistake. Any human can make a mistake. So I understand that there might be a situation or a particular dog or person, you know, that your dog might not like. That can happen, okay? But if it becomes a pattern and every single time you take the dog out, you've got to hide it behind you and, uh-oh, go the other way because, uh-oh, there's another dog that's a service dog that might be a real service dog. You know, any dog can have an off day. Any human can have an off day. But, you know, we were at this firefighters conference, and it was a big deal. It was the California State Firefighters Association, and it was there were a lot of people from all over California, and these guys are busy, and ladies are busy fighting these brush fires, and, I mean, acres, and I mean, thousands of acres at this point, people's homes being destroyed. So when these guys come down, and, you know, they're hanging out, and I'm doing a cancer screening with them. But then all of a sudden, you know, you have another dog that comes up and is lunging at your dog who's ignoring it. You know, that is not a service dog. That's really not what we want. But a lot of people who will say, oh, yeah, I have a service dog, it's not a service dog. And we'll talk about that on Tuesday, of course. But you have to really be thinking about making sure that your dog is the best-behaved dog he or she can possibly be. And if he or she is never coming out of your home, and as long as it doesn't attack people or do something in your home that you're upset about, I really don't care how the dog behaves with the rest of the world. But I care a lot when I'm doing cancer screenings with one of my highly trained service dogs who detects diseases even prior to stage zero at their initial change, when the initial cells are first starting to change and metamorphose into cancer cells or irregular cell types. And, you know, then and the dog's coming after them. I mean, that's not right. So socialize your dog, because assume when you go into an airport, you are not going to be the only dog. Sometimes the TSA, the Transportation Safety Administration, sometimes TSA has dogs there. So your dog cannot react to other dogs. Sometimes there might be a beagle there or something, a narcotics dog, a lab, something like that, in order to make sure that there are no drugs or contraband coming in. And there even might be some other service dogs. You never know. There's a lot of people. So when everybody's going through the airport and you assume that out of, you know, 5,000 people that are going to be in that terminal, in and out of that terminal in the time you're there, if not more than that, you're assuming that out of 5,000 people, there's not going to be one other dog that might be there. Well, there probably are going to be other dogs. So, you know, get them used to it and get them used to the fact that, you know, there are other dogs and animals. There might be a cat. There might be a rabbit. There could be any dog that or any animal that you can or can't remember or think of. So it's very important to make sure your dog is properly socialized. And, you know, we can help you with this, too, because we do offer free advice through United, the letter K, the number 9, professionals.com, which the phone number you can call is 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, P-R-O-S, 855-4-K-9-PROS, and we will give you free advice. And if we feel that you do need more than we can give you in that short time that we're speaking on the phone, we can come to your home. We have people in 37 states and 8 countries. We will be right back with what to do with your dog in the car, boat, train, plane, on a trip. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
NuVet Plus, your pet's best friend. NuVet Plus is an immune system builder that is safe for all stages of your dog's life. Helps eliminate most issues, including allergies, scratching and itching, hot spots, arthritis and joint issues, chronic ear infections, tear staining, lack of energy, digestive issues, and so much more. All natural, manufactured in an FDA-registered human pharmaceutical lab here in the USA, using ingredients sourced in the USA. Nothing artificial, no sugars, wheat, corn, or dyes. Never heat-treated to help retain all the natural, rich ingredients. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and is only pennies a day. Call us Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Pacific Time. 1-800-474-7044. That's 1-800-474-7044. And tell them you are referred by All Paws Pet Talk Radio. Or go online to www.nuvet.com. That's www.nuvet.com. Use order code 33955. Again, www.nuvet.com, order code 3395. Put your pet on the path to good health.
As a dog owner, you know that dogs can eat just about anything. But when food becomes a health troublemaker, or your animal has been on antibiotics or heavy meds, or GI issues set in, your animal's gut may be out of balance and needs Goo Gut Rescue. Goo Gut Rescue is 100% natural and veterinarian prebiotic and probiotic formulated to rescue your animal's gut from bad bug dominance. Remember, your dog's total health begins with gut health. Don't delay. Visit GooGutRescue.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. We are having fun here at the beautiful Hilton Hotel and Universal Studios in the beautiful Hollywood, California. And we're talking about dogs because that's what we do every Friday night, like we do on Tuesdays on From Shelter Dog to Service Dog. Well, we're going to be talking about how you can travel with your pet. Because it's so important to understand how to travel with your pet. And the main thing is, if your pet does not get along well with small children, or if it does not get along well with wheelchairs or bicycles or other animals or whatever kind of animals, a dog, a rabbit, then you need before, be not after, but before you start thinking about traveling, you need to start working with your dog. Now, that's where we at United Canine Professionals can help you because we are natural canine behavior experts. We use techniques that actually are my trademarked and copywritten techniques that I have actually been doing since I'm about 17 years old, and I've also been working with horses, and I've had horses my whole life as well. So if you understand the species and what a dog thinks, and you think about horses versus dogs. Let's think about that for a moment. We put a dog in a crate where it can turn around and lie down. We put a horse in a stall. Now, nobody ever says, oh, I don't want to put the horse in a stall, because horses live in a stall. It's their little room, so they keep safe. They don't get attacked by something. Well, how is that any different from a dog crate? Answer is, it's not. It's just a different animal in a little different space. Your room, when you send your kids to the room and you say, go to your room. Well, when you tell them to go to their room, they're going to a little box, which is the same as going to their crate. But we don't really look at it the same way with humans as we do with dogs, because with humans we say, oh, you know, Johnny, go to your room. And, you know, your kids can be annoying. Most kids are annoying. But that's there. You know, we were annoying when we were kids. Some people were very annoying when they were kids. Some people are still very annoying as adults. But, you know, the basics are, when you send your child to his room, go do your homework. You're saying, go to that assigned space that I pay for you to live in and to stay in until you are finished with the task that I gave you. And the reason for that is that that is where you as the leader are able to keep the dog safe from harm. So it's super important to understand that you have to be able to allow that dog to have a little bit of personal space, or that horse to have a little bit of personal space. There has to be an off time, a downtime. That doesn't mean we're going to yell, because we're never going to yell. We're not going to be screaming like crazy people. We're not going to be taking, you know, squirt bottles and shaker cans and choker chains and prong collars and shock collars and scaring and losing the trust of our dogs. Because that's not what human-dog bond is about. What it's about is a trust and a relationship. Connection with between us and our dog, so that our dog can trust us. Now, how does that tie into travel? Please, people, don't just take your dog and throw him in the car when you're going to the vet or the groomer. You don't think that after a while the dog says, uh-oh, every time I go in that little moving box, that little thing that you sit in the front and I sit in the back, every time we go in there, I end up having pain or being scared. Because I either get stuck going to the vet or to the groomer. Now think about that. What does that mean? It means that dogs start associating associative memories. They start associating the experience of getting into the car with what happens after it. Now some people who really don't understand dog behavior will say that dogs don't think like that, or dogs don't remember things, or dogs, you know, don't do a lot of the things that they do. That's not true. Dogs do everything we think, but they do think differently. They do not just go and say to themselves one morning, I'm going to go be the leader today. What they do is they think like dogs. So, for instance, in nature, why would a dog have to ever get into a moving box? Now, think about it. A dog going into a crate, and especially being forced into a crate, is very reminiscent of a little cave or a little opening where somebody might be, locking them away. So your problem there is that by having the dog never getting used to a crate, and I talk about this all the time, every month or two I mention this, because the problem is, You put your dog in the crate when you leave the house. So you've already said to the dog, hey, buddy, I am leaving now for a while, because, of course, if I were only leaving for a moment, you wouldn't be in a crate. So once I put you in the crate, I've already lost, because I'm putting you in the crate knowing, oh, I feel so bad. I'm going to have my dog in the crate, and he's not going to be able to do anything. And think about it, people. Don't we all do that? We all do it. I don't, but, I mean, 99% of people do it. So hopefully a lot of you guys don't do that, because you've been listening to the show for a year and to my other things. And by the way, yes, the book is ready. So that will be out now very soon. It's just going through. It's done with the edits, and we should have that out very, very soon, within hopefully a few days or a week, hopefully by next show. But we also want people to understand how to get their dogs ready for travel. So get your dog used to one thing at a time. Try not to overwhelm the dog like you wouldn't want to overwhelm a child, right? Don't overwhelm the dog and, you know, start out with, okay, well, we're going to go and put his vest on. We're going to go to the mall. We're going to go sit in a restaurant. You know, we're going to go put your dog next to bagpipes. Yes, Savannah loves her bagpipes, and we have many, many, many more photos and video of Savannah near the bagpipes again as the guys performed. They were really amazing last night. You know, you would think a dog would not really be so keen on being near these loud, you know, scary-sounding bagpipes and snare drums and bass drums. But you know where Savannah gets her inner strength from? From me, from who she's with. And that's why it's so important to understand that your energy affects your dog's behavior. And your dog's energy will in turn affect your behavior. Why does that happen? Well, it happens basically because you've got a beautiful combination of a relationship. So you have people first who are kind of looking at, let's say they're saying, I have this and I want to make it into that. But you have to first start to understand the relationship and the trust. And the reason my dogs trust me so much is that they know that I'm taking care of them. I'm providing for their needs, and I'm protecting them from harm. So if I get my dogs used to going into the car and we stop at the ice cream shop, no cone, but I'll get them a little tiny cup of ice cream, vanilla ice cream, in the summer. And sometimes we just take them out in the car and we might give them some cookies just because they did. Don't bribe them, just the cookies happen to be in there. And sometimes go to your vet's office and go to places where the dog reacts. Just get them used to it, but one thing at a time. Don't overwhelm your dog. Well, we will be right back in a moment with our fourth segment, and please stay tuned. You're going to love it.
For your dogs, running beside your bike is more rewarding canine exercise than any walk. It's also more dangerous. Until now, introducing the amazingly stable Bike Toe Leash, the only safe dog biking attachment approved by the American Pet Association. The Bike Toe Leash installs in seconds on bikes, trikes, power chairs, and mobility scooters. No tools needed, and dogs learn it immediately. With a Bike Toe Leash, both dogs and rider can enjoy fun recreation anywhere, no matter what your ability level. To learn more and order your Bike Toe Leash, visit BikeToeLeash.com. That's BikeToeLeash.com. Bike Toe Leashes are made in the USA and ship worldwide. That website again is BikeToeLeash.com.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. So as I sit or recline here, I am not in my studio in New Jersey, nor am I in our studios in Texas, nor am I in our studios in Missouri. I am right now laying on a majorly cushy, comfy bed here with my baby girl, Savannah, who has been amazing on this trip, as she always is. But it's just so wonderful to see her just laying here and enjoying herself. We'll be sending you some pictures that will be posted of her at Universal Studios, and she will have her little Mickey Mouse, Minnie Mouse ears on, so it's kind of cute. But the reason I'm telling you is my dogs are exposed to so much because I expose them to so much. And the other mistake people make, and this relates to traveling, which we're going to get to as well, with how to get your dog in and out of a crate, in and out of a car, or in and out of a restaurant or a building. We'll be talking much more in detail about that, obviously, and from shelter dog to service dog on Tuesday nights. But, you know, your key really, and the most important thing, I think, in this, is understanding that you can't stop. You can't take your dog when it's a puppy and take it out every day, five times a day, from the time it's 8 weeks old, which is way too young to have the puppy anyway, you know, to 6 months old, and then you say, oh, he was socialized to everybody. He's going to be fine forever. And then all of a sudden, you got a dog who's 3-4 years old, and he's dog aggressive, and you say, he used to go to the dog park. Right. Used to bees. Remember used to bees? Used to bees are no good because used to bees mean it's something you don't do anymore. So if you used to take your dog for a walk and now you're not, that's one thing that you need to start doing to be able to teach the dog how to walk properly on a leash and also to teach the dog what exactly do we expect, what is our purpose on that walk, because it's very, very important. We also have to remember that dogs have different views of things. If you want to really understand a dog, the best thing, honestly, to do is to kind of squat down or get a GoPro. Put the GoPro on your dog's collar. I mean, I think it's hilarious, but put the GoPro on your dog's collar or whatever you want to, you know, wherever you want to put it, on a chest harness, and you watch what he sees. It is such a distorted view because the dog sees things differently than we do. Of course he does. He's little. I mean, even a big dog is still lower than an average-sized, you know, human. So what's so very, very important is, of course, to make sure that when you're taking your dog out or when you're socializing your dog is to continue doing that for the rest of his life. Now, that does not mean that you have to spend, you know, 10 hours a week, you know, dragging the dog off to a dog park and socializing him and leaving. But it also doesn't mean that once he's learned it, he's learned it. Some animals learn things and they retain them very well. Some animals, you know, learn things and they definitely don't retain it well. So it's all right. We don't mind that the dog is, you know, is not catching on. What we do mind is when the humans aren't catching on, that the dog is not catching on. So if you think you are in charge of your dog, if you think that's happening and that you are the boss and you're the leader, and you think you have nothing to fix on your dog, he comes immediately, he goes and catches something, he brings it right back to you. Think of all the things that we ask for our dogs to do. The most important part about that is find new things to ask for. All right? Don't ask the same exact thing. Right? Just, you have to really think about that. Does that make sense? Don't keep doing the same thing over and over again expecting a different result. That's a definition of insanity, for goodness sake. So put your dog in a crate. Take your dog out of the crate. Put him in. Take him out. Get him used to the concept that I can go in, I get shushed, I get corrected, and then I come out, or vice versa. If we have somebody else who's, you know, another dog who might be very high-strung, it might get nippy when it gets nervous. You know, another dog who might be a little yappy dog might be yappy when it's nervous. You know, a large dog like a Shepherd or a Dobie or a Rottie, you know, it's a working breed. It might herd the people. So, you know, you have to remember to just keep on making sure that you're socializing your dog properly to other dogs of its own age, other dogs that are older, and other dogs that are younger once you can do that. Because this way, they're getting a very well-rounded experience of what you expect, and you know each one of them, and you know what that dog's going to do. Does that make sense? Okay. So, when you're taking your dog out, try to remember one very, very, very important part. Take your dog out when you don't have a time constraint. Take your dog out not because you have to, because you want to. And you know what? If you have your UKP shirt on, if you have your Merlin's Kid shirt on while you're walking and you have some reflective gear, at least you won't get hit by a car. But chances are you've got your gentle leader and you start going for a walk with your dog. And what does your dog do? First thing, stops pulling and it starts moving, moving itself in a different way. Most of the time, it's much in a much freer way. So in other words, if you have, an animal who is always going to the vet and biting people, well, that's because it's a self-fulfilling prophecy. You're not teaching the dogs not to be in charge. You have to be able to go on that hunt, walk, hunt, wait, eat to be able to make sure that the dog understands that. But when you're trying to shove a dog into a crate or you're trying to shove, you know, a dog or pull a dog down to your face, that's probably not the swiftest place in the world. You know, so think about it. Think really carefully about it. All right. So what do you do when you do need to fly or travel or ship your dog? He needs to be used to a crate. Now, that does not mean he's going to live in the crate, people. We don't want him living in the crate. Unless he's destructive or in a puppy stage. You're the most average dogs you want to definitely be a little bit careful of. So you're taking your dog out, and you notice, let's say the dog growls at another dog. Okay, good. Now, if you take your dog out, and you're walking your dog, and you're, you know, doing all the things that we teach you to do every single Friday, and your dog is having behavioral issues, well, then it's just that he's challenging you, and that does happen. But if you are not taking your dog for a while, if you're not taking your dog out for a walk, if you're not taking, you know, your dog to wherever, like I drag Savannah around all over from Florida to Missouri to Kansas to Ohio to Michigan, Colorado, Vermont, I mean, I got all over. And all these people that we train that can help you, if you call the 855, the number 4, the letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K-9-PROS, we will help you. We will help you. We have a free service. You don't need to put a credit card in. You don't need to put anything in. It's basically just learning how dogs feel and understanding why they're doing what they're doing so you're able to change what they're doing. It's not really that hard. It's just a lot different concept than you guys have all been learning from.
Due to health problems, old age, or just fussiness, Super Gravy by Clear Conscience Pet will boost your pet's appetite and nutrition for less than 40 cents a day. If you are adding expensive canned food to kibble to get your pet to eat, Super Gravy is the earth-friendly alternative with no can waste and for less than half the cost. Visit supergravy.com for more info and bring pure joy back to your companion's mealtime. Now through Labor Day, save 20% on Super Gravy and all Clear Conscience Pet treats at Pet Food Warehouse in South Burlington and Shelburne.
I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great. I love food. I'm hungry, can't wait. I'm hungry, lick the plate. I'm hungry, tastes great.
And welcome back to For the Love of Dog with Janice Wolf. So we are coming up on the last segment. So let's get to how do you get your dog used to going into a crate, into a car, onto a plane, into a van, into a train, like my dogs are able to do. Well, it's not really difficult, but you don't want to force a dog. You never want to stare at the dog, look into its beautiful eyes, and drag it towards what it is scared of. I learned that when I was about 5 or 6 years old when I had a pony. And I was riding this pony, and he was great. And somebody decided, and unfortunately, I have a very, very good seat. I've never fallen off a horse, and that's a pretty good record. I'm going to knock on some wood here because I've been riding my whole life, and I'm no longer 5. But I remember this pony, and I remember somebody she was looking at me, the riding instructor was looking at me, was backing up with the pony to try to get the pony to move, and the pony was spooking, and the pony was going to rear and back away. Think about it from an animal's instinct and an animal's viewpoint. You're staring at something which is causing it to believe you are challenging it. It is also you know, for a dog who's a little bit dominant or very dominant, you can start a fight. That dog, if it, especially if it starts getting nervous on top of that, it can actually attack you because it's fearful or it's dominant. And I saw that happen. There was this gigantic, like 150 at least, pound Rottweiler. And this man was going towards it to walk, you know, to come up to it with his hand out. And I could see the dog. I mean, I'm a behaviorist. I do this all over the place. I've fixed more than 25,000 dogs. But this man obviously didn't know what he was doing. And as I saw this very tentative energy, he's staring at the dog, putting his hand out. And as he's doing that, he's kind of backing up because he's kind of afraid. And I said to the man, I kind of said, you might want to just stand next to him. Oh, I know dogs. I walked away. What does the Rottweiler do? It bites the man's hand pretty bad. It got him real good bang. And, you know, I'm sure that the stupid man probably had a good number of stitches and some broken bones in his hand. It wasn't that Rottweiler's fault. Rottweilers are great dogs. They're not bad dogs. That's very atypical, very unusual for a Rottweiler. But you have a very strange energy and an animal who is in a fearful state of mind or in an animated or agitated state of mind. And when dogs get excited, the excitement from a doorbell, from another dog, from, you know, something falling on the floor, from anything it can be, that excitement can lead to dominant behaviors. It can also lead to fearful behaviors. Because when there's excitement, you've all heard of that submissive peeing, you know, that it's not submissive peeing. It's not that the dog is submitting. It's that the dog is frightened. The dog is going, okay, I'll just make sure I'm the lowest on the totem pole. And it's from the excitement. It's not from the submission. My dogs, and I hate that, you know, submission, because I don't want my dogs to be submissive. I want my dogs to be confident. I want them to walk around knowing that I'm the coolest, bestest, you know, funnest, you know, strongest leader in the whole world. And as long as they're with me, they're safe. That is what gives them the confidence to be able to be the best dog in the world. That is why I try to teach people. And that's why we have, you know, 150 plus people in United Canine Professionals who are already certified. We have another 300 with Merlin's Kids and also United Canine Professionals and our, you know, other training programs. So we have a lot of people there, and we've got 8 countries and, you know, and 37 states. We're out there a lot. We teach everyone in our company has to learn the natural canine behavior rehabilitation, because how can you train a service dog or how can you train a cancer detection dog that isn't going to be good in public or good with kids? And I'll share a quick story for you, because this is something that almost any dog would have an absolute right to bite the child that did what this little boy did to Savannah the night before last. Bagpipes. We're at a big firefighters convention. There's hundreds of people there. And Savannah was lying down, minding her own business. The bagpipes were coming through, but they were practicing in the background, so there was some, you know, loud noise. There were 3 other little children that were petting Savannah, and this little boy, adorable little boy, must have been about 3 or maybe he was 3, comes running out of nowhere, launches himself into the air like Superman would do off the end of a building in order to take flight and save Lois Lane. He comes off like literally every body part was off the ground, lunges and runs at her, and lands literally on top of Savannah, and Savannah's face was literally under his chest. So, I mean, I saw this happening, and I was right there, but he came out of nowhere, and it was very, you know, kind of dim lights because we had the bagpipers coming through, and, Savannah didn't even move, and I actually, the mother saw what was happening and took, I'm so sorry, and Savannah didn't move, and I was like, oh, my gosh, did he kill her? I mean, I was scared for a moment. And I was like, Vanna Banana, are you okay? And she just picks her head up and looks at me, like kind of giving me this little sweet banana look, like everybody who knows her has ever seen her. knows the little banana look. And she just looked up at me like, yeah, it's toddler, Mom. You know how those kids are. I would venture to say anybody else other than maybe her, Wyatt, Fallon, and a bunch of my dogs who are just really tolerant, I'll bet you the vast majority of dogs, that would have been a major bite on a child's face. But it wasn't, because my dogs are exposed to everything and constantly. And it's not that you do something once and then you never do it again, or you do it once a week. You have to immerse them in it. And they have to be immersed in it until you are actually able to ensure that somebody else can take the dog into that situation, because that shows that then the dog has enough confidence on its own to be able to feel like it's doing something and it's doing well. Okay, so in the case with Savannah, I had the little boy come back and meet her in an appropriate manner. Now, not the inappropriate manner that he had very blazingly done. But when, you know, the little boy came back, Savannah kind of looked at him, and then she just went up to him and she did her little, you know, let me check your illnesses and what's going on. And she actually pointed out that the little boy had an ear infection that the parents, when I pointed it out, and I said, does your son have, like, water in his ear or a little ear infection on that left side? She goes, oh, yeah, he has a tube in his ear. Now, Savannah could tell that this little boy had a tube in his ear. But think about a three-year-old running and lunging at a dog who's sleeping. So you have to make sure, as a puppy and as when you get the dog, you wake your dog up, bump into him. You know, make sure you do everything that a child might do, or that expose the dog to everything. Take him with you. Take him every time you go out to PetSmart, or wherever you go, the box store. Sorry I said that. Bad word, but every time you go out to these places, you should be taking your dogs with you unless it's very hot or very cold, so that when you start getting your dog ready and you know, bring him into the car, he starts associating crates and cars with and other modes of transportation with good things. The only time you put your dog in the crate is twice a year when you go down to Florida and back. Obviously, your dog is not going to really be happy. Put him in the crate. Take him to you know, the store. Take him to a park. Get him used to that. It's so, so important. Well, you know, time is running out again. I don't know how this happens, but, boy, this hour-long show gets shorter every single week. We are going to, again, just give you the 800 number. It's 855, the number 4. The letter K, the number 9, PROS, 855-4-K9-PROS, the 855-HI-WYATT for Merlin's kids. And if you or someone you know needs help with a dog or needs help with a, you know, any kind of a situation, have them call us. We testify in court on behavior cases as well if you have a dog bite or something. And I can testify pretty well. Like, you don't want me on the other opposition side. But it's really, really important. Contact us. You can go on the websites, www.merlinskids.org or www, I just love saying that, .unitedk9professionals.com. And if you or someone you know thinks you might like to be a part of our amazing growing team to do cancer and disease detection, to work with special needs children, or even to become a natural canine behavior rehabilitation specialist, let us know. And check us out on the web on our, you know, yesterday, so it'd be, it was Thursday night, what we were doing with these amazing cancer detection dogs. And check out Firefighter Cancer Foundation, which is, the website is www.ff, like firefighter, cancer.org, and see what Cindy L. and her amazing team do. We have to go right now, but we will talk to you all next week. Have a wonderful weekend.